Joining us this week is our special guest. We have the Saskatchewan Roughriders all-time leading receiver, Ray Elgard, joining us. Mr. Elgard, thanks so much for joining us on the Piffles podcast this week.
Yeah, no sweat. Glad to be here.
So fans want to know, what have you been up to since your career had ended?
What have I been up to since my career ended? So that's a 21-year log. Yeah, I mean, where do you want me to start?
Probably more recently, I suppose.
Yeah, I haven't been up to much. I mean, nothing serious. Family moved to Las Vegas when I retired, and I got into the financial business here, which I had been in Saskatchewan as well. Spent 8 years working for a company called Morgan Stanley, and then the last 13 working at a company called LPL, and that's what I do. Raised two kids, and got a son now that's a Las Vegas Metro police officer, and I got a daughter who's a UNLV graduate and an accountant for Caesars Entertainment, one of the big casino companies here. And so life is normal. Yeah, it's been good. We've enjoyed our time here.
Now getting to your football career, other than winning the Grey Cup in 1989, what's your favorite career accomplishment?
Don't you want to talk about my kids anymore?
Well, that's later.
This other stuff's boring. I don't know. I guess it would be going into the Hall of Fame. And I don't dwell on this kind of stuff very much or ponder, you know, a hierarchy of this or that. You know, I had a nice long career, enjoyed most of it, even, you know, when the wins were rare. But, you know, it was a great job and it was a great place to play. And I had lots of good things happen to me in my career. And Grey Cup was one and Hall of Fame was another. And there was lots of others in between.
So out of all the players you played with throughout your career, who was your favorite teammate?
Favorite teammate? Oh, that's an interesting question. Well, I mean, I can't just pick one. There was like hundreds. and I'll tell you something else. Some guys may be your favorites for different reasons. So, you know, there was people like Eddie Lowe and, you know, Glenn Suter and Mike Anderson and, you know, Ridgeway and Roger, you know, guys that were longtime players like I was that played hard and were a big reason for us turning that team around in the late 80s. Then there was, you know, your favorites that you go drinking with, which is a whole different crop of people. But, I mean, I can't just pick one person. I'd be leaving out 50. So had lots of good teammates, you know, even guys that didn't hang around very long. There was lots of good people that came through that team when I was there.
You know, you can be honest here. It was probably the quarterbacks that were throwing you the ball, right?
I am honest at all times, and no, I wouldn't say it was the quarterback, because sometimes they're throwing you the ball and sometimes they're not. So, you know, I mean, there's certain guys that you owe a lot of your success to, maybe, and certainly that would be, you know, quarterbacks and other guys that are on the field when you're doing your thing. But, you know, there's other people that you just endeared yourself to because you like the way they play or who they were or, you know, whatever the case may be. But I can't just single anybody out. There was hundreds of these guys.
So on
good,
the
good group of people.
On the flip side, was there a teammate that you just couldn't stand?
Well, I'm not going to go there either, Amy.
Because there's hundreds of those too, right?
you know, there was quite a few guys on that team when I first got there that you know, I probably didn't get to know them because I didn't play with them that long, but that I didn't have a whole lot of respect for. That team was kind of in disarray in the early 80s when I got there, and you know, there's a lot of guys over the first few years of my career that came in and were part of changing the culture of the team. But you know, there was a kind of an oddball collection of ne'er-do-wells in the early 80s that would be on that list if I was willing to make a list. So I'll leave it at that.
Sounds good.
I like that, though, Amy. You go right for the dirt. The dirty stuff on there.
Now, what's the craziest road trip story that you have, either involving yourself, or if you don't want to embarrass yourself, or involving your teammates? You can throw them under the bus.
Oh, I cannot go there. You know how ridiculous some of this stuff that went on in the road is? Oh, man, I can't go there at all.
You know, we're not a PG show. You can lay it all out here.
Well, still, you know, I don't want to be the one that shines a light on anybody, but we had lots of good trips to Ottawa because they had a peephole in the in the visitor dressing room that Sean right into the Ottawa cheerleaders room. So that was always a big highlight going to Ottawa.
Did you happen to ever ask for a trade to Ottawa? Unrelated reason.
I think I got more looks through the peephole than I would have got if I'd played there. So, no, I never looked for a trade to Ottawa. We had lots of fun on the road though, but you know it wasn't like the Wild West either. I mean, in the early '80s when I got there, there was plenty of guys that would go on road trips and rip it up and play like shit the next day. But as the years went on, we got a little bit more focused and professional about that sort of thing. I mean, there was still lots of partying and drinking and stuff, but nothing too crazy.
Now, we do a segment on the show called Mosaic Moments. It's exactly what it sounds like. What is your favorite moment, be it during your career, after, from the old Taylor Field?
Ah, that's a good question. Now that I think about it, one of the things that just came into my head as soon as you said, favorite Mosaic things was when we did win the Grey Cup in 89 and we came back to Regina, we got back at night and, we're all in our suits and our heavy overcoats. It was like 30 below or something. And we took the Grey Cup to the stadium and there was, I don't know what the number was. I would guess maybe 10 or maybe even 15,000 people at Mosaic Stadium at whatever time it was, 10 o'clock at night or something. And that was pretty cool. That was something different. Like, you see parades and all that sort of thing that people do, and that's great, but to be wandering out on the field the night after the Grey Cup, as a team with the cup and having it be as cold as it was and all those fans that were there, that was a pretty cool moment, something different. So that was a good one.
Now, Ray, you're the all-time yardage leader for receiving for the Riders. If you could have played your...
Still? Jesus.
Yeah, nobody's been good for a while.
Well, they're good. They just don't hang around long enough.
If you could have played in your time, but with the rules now that favor the offenses, how many more yards would you have had, and would it have affected your game?
I don't know, because I don't know specifically what the changes to the rules have been in the secondary. I'm assuming you're referring to rule changes that allow for less contact. Is that correct?
Yeah, basically right now, if you touch a receiver, it's a PI penalty.
Okay. Well, probably wouldn't have added any yardage to my career because you don't get yardage for penalties. But my guess is that if they took a lot of the contact out of the secondary, it probably wouldn't have been very helpful to me. So I think in my circumstance, like it might have helped somebody like Jeff Fairholm or Don Narcisse, but I think in my circumstance, the rules on allowing contact was actually something that worked in my favor. People wanted to rough it up a little bit, and that allowed me to rough it up back.
All right, so we have a fun segment on our show. It's called the Hottie Bowl. Think
All
of
right,
it.
That's so fun, Amy. Lift your shirt up or something.
Think of it as naming a Pro Bowl roster, but for the best-looking players. Who on the 89 Grey Cup winning team would have made the Hottie Bowl roster?
Oh, well, shit, I would have been the captain and GM of that team. The Hottie Bowl roster from the 89 team, let's see. Well, I guess on defense you got to have Suter. He's spent a lot of time working on his hair and his mustache and, trying to be, Joe good-looking guy.
Does he still make the roster without the mustache, though?
Even if he didn't have the mustache, he was trying hard to be, GQ all the time and have his hair all fluffed up nice and all that sort of thing. So Suter would be on that team. Do we need somebody from offense, too?
Sure.
Okay, well, that would definitely be me. I got rugged good looks. I don't know. How many you want? I mean, me and Suter right there, that's calendar material right there.
One more. One more will do it, I think.
One more. 89, best looking. I would probably pick somebody like a Dave Albright. Rough around the edges, manly, kind of the Paul Bunyan type. I guess it depends what you're into. not really into guys, but here's my Hottie Bowl lineup. Me, Suter, and Dave Albright.
Perfect, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Ray, that's awesome. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, you're welcome. Go Riders.
That was Rider legend Ray Allgaier joining us from his home in Las Vegas. That settles it. We're taking the show on the road to Vegas, and we're going to party with Ray Elgard.
I'm in.